Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Bet by the Mishnah in the new Perek. The Igur begins, Benot Kutim Nidot Me'ari Satan. The daughters of Kutim. Kutim are the group of individuals who lived in the Shomron. It was a machloket amongst the Tanaim as to the status of the Kutim, whether the Kutim were Gerei Emet, they converted and they were true converts, or were they Gerei Arayot, were they converting because of the fear of the lions? Which is a story that's told in Melachim Bet, which is after Sancheriv is Goleh, parts of Klal Yisrael. He, in exchange, or a population exchange, when you exile the people from here to somewhere else, you gotta bring somebody else to fill in the space. So they brought people from outside of the area to the Shomron area. And those people were being attacked by the lions. And there was a belief in that time that there were local gods that controlled the area, and you needed to know what the service was for the local gods. And the individuals, the Kutim, who moved there, were searching for such a council. And they brought in a Kohen that was from the Jews. And that Kohen ministered to them, and they were able then to stop the lions from attacking them. And so there is some question as to whether they converted out of true want to convert, or whether it was Gerei Arayot, whether they did it out of the fear of the lions. And then, when we get to the Amoraim, it persists a little bit, the question as to the status, until they finally come to a conclusion that the Kutim are not considered to be, or not classified as full-fledged Jews, because they find that they're worshipping Avodah Zarah on the Hagrizim. And so then they decided that it was clear that they were not Jews, or not acting like Jews. They were using it as a front, either to protect themselves, or they went back to their old ways. And therefore, later on, in the time of the Amoraim, there's already a consideration that the Kutim are not considered to be Gerei Emet. But at least at the Mishnaic level, which is what we're dealing with here, the Tanaim, there is a question as to whether they are Gerei Arayot and Gerei Emet, and we'll discuss in a second what impact that has on this Mishnah. But these Kutim, their girls, are Tamei Tumat Nida, Mary Satan, from the time of their birth. From the moment they're born, they have Tumat Nida. But Kutim, Mitamim Mishkav Tachton Ke'elyon. And the Kutim also are Mitameh, the Mishkav, the item that is below them, Ke'elyon, like the one that is on top, Mipnei, Shein Bole Nidot. Because they are considered to be someone who is Boel Nida. Boel Nida, the individual who is Boel Nida, basically becomes Tameh like a Nida. They have the same Tumah as a Nida. And therefore, they have the same Dinim with regards to Mishkav and Moshav, which is if you lay on something or sin in something, then the items that are below you all have the same din of tuma, no matter whether it's the top item or the bottom item. If there are 10 mattresses under you, all the mattresses are going to have the same din of tuma because you sat on them or you slept on them, irrespective of the fact that you are closer to one than the other. So that din applies to their males because they are considered to be boel nidot. Behen yoshvot al kol dam vidam. The problem seems to be that they kept Tumat Nida for any type of dam, for any type of sighting that they have. As Rashi notes over here, Mishum kol dam shrod ben adom, ben yarok, yoshvot olav yemei nidot. That whether it was greenish, reddish, yellowish, whatever the sighting of dam, they used to keep the dinei nida. So that would be a chumrah. What's the big deal? The problem is that if you keep a din of Tumat Nida based on any sighting of dam, you may actually start your days of nida too early. So for instance, as Rashi notes over here, if she sees a yellow sighting on a given day, which would not make her into nida, but she says, okay, I saw a sighting, I'm a nida. Then 3 days later, she has a sighting of dam that's adom. She has a red dam. Well, she says, well, that's within my 7 days of nida. I don't have to worry about it. And I'll just finish out the 7 days from when I saw the yellow dam. Meantime, according to the halacha, her 7 days really started from when she saw the red, not when she saw the yellow. That means she's going to terminate her nida too early. That's one aspect of it. And then also in terms of beginning a zava dola and yimei ziva, she's going to have the wrong count in terms of when her yimei ziva are, as well as when she starts a new petach nida. So all of that causes a cascading problem, which is that if you start too early or you miscalculate your days of nida, then you run into problems, and that's one of the issues that we have with them. Al biyat mikdash. Obviously, if you go into the mikdash based on that tuma, vein sorfim aleim into truma, or truma came into contact with you after you came into contact with them, or with them, then you do not sorefit mibnei shetumatan safek. We don't know for certain that they are tmeim. We have suspicions that they are tmeim. It's a safek. And therefore, we determine that they have tumah, but that tumah is not absolute. And since it's not absolute, you can't act with absolute certainty to bring a korban for going into the mikdash with such tumah or eating kodashim with such tumah, because then you could have the risk of chulin vazara if you're not supposed to bring the korban. In regards to truma, we're not going to let you burn truma unless it's really trumat me'ah, not when it's trumat safek. So the Mishnah acknowledges that this is not an absolute truma, but we're explaining to you what we're choshesh for, why we worry about the truma by them, and that worry causes us to determine that their women are nidot me'asri satan, and that their husbands, their males, have an issue of bolei nida. Now Gemara says, hechidami, what exactly is the scenario here with regards to these young children? If they are having sightings of dam, afilu didan nami, then why is it unique to the kutim? It should be true of our girls as well. If we suspect that they have sightings when they're younger, then that is a human issue, which means that it's equally applicable to Jews as it is to kutim. If that's the case, then we should have our daughters should also have that same din. V'idalo kachazion. So if there is no sighting of dam at that young age, then didhu nami lo. Then why are we even worrying about their youngsters having, quote-unquote, sightings of nida or being tamei tumat nida? It's just not a possibility. So Amar Rava, b'rei de Rav Acha bar Rav Huna. So Rava, the son of Rav Acha bar Rav Huna, says, Amar Rav Shesha, hocha b'mayeskinan bistama. This is just a regular case. Kevan, di'ika miyuta dechazion chashinan. There is a miyut, there is a minority of women or girls that have sighting of dam at a very young age. Therefore, we worry about that miyut, we worry about that small percentage that might have it. And therefore, we metame all of them based on that low percentage. Now, why would you do that? You here have a very low probability of something happening. Why would you assign a higher likelihood of it happening? If it's a low probability, that's exactly what it is. That is because this Mishnah subscribes to Umantano, the Chayish Lemiyuta, who is the Tano that believes that minorities are significant and we do worry about them. That is Rabbi Meir. This is the famous Shita of Rabbi Meir, which is Choshishin the Miyut. We worry about minorities or low probabilities. The Tanya, and this is a Breita that brings us a case from Yivamot, which is where Rabbi Meir's Shita is very clear, which is Katan Viktana. If you have a youngster, youth, that is, whether it's a boy or a girl, lo chotzin v'lo miyabmin. They can't do chalitza, and they can't do yibum. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir's view. Amaru lo the Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim said to Rabbi Meir, yafe amarta shein chotzin. I understand why you say that there can't be chalitza, because ish katub b'parsha. The parsha of chalitza says ish. Ish means a man, a person of age. And so therefore, the act of chalitza can only be performed by an ish, which means somebody of age. So I understand why a katan cannot engage in chalitza. U makshinan isha l'ish. And we have a hekesh there between the man and the woman. And just like the man or the boy can't perform chalitza until he is a man, so too the woman can't be the recipient of the chalitza unless she is of age. So we understand your opinion with regards to that one side, which is the chalitza side. Matam emiyabmin. What we don't understand is why can't they have yibum, or why can't they perform yibum over here? Amar lehen, katan, shemimta saris. The problem is, with a katan, we might find him to be someone who is unable to reproduce. Tana, shematimta ailonit. And the problem with the tana is that maybe we'll find that she is unable to bear children. Now, even though saris and ailonit have particular meanings in terms of the person's inability to reproduce, nevertheless, they are also used in a more generic sense, which is the way they're being used here, which is not saris over here, it's not a particular type of problem. It's just a generic problem, which is this person is unable to reproduce, and the same thing with ailunit, they are unable to reproduce. Benimtsu pogim be'erva shelo b'makom mitzvah, which means now that they are being together with someone who is otherwise an erva to them, where there's no mitzvah of yibum. That is because the issue with regards to yibum is that you have an individual who's married to a woman, passes away without having children with that woman, the brothers are now obligated to take this wife from their brother and reproduce with her. There is an Isur Erva called Eshet Ach, the wife of one's brother. So that Eshet Ach issue is an Erva issue. Nevertheless, the Torah gives a dispensation, or even a tzivui, a commandment, to perform Yibum. But that's only when you're doing the mitzvah of Yibum do you override, or is pushed aside, the mitzvah of Eshet Ach, or the Erva of Eshet Ach. If there's no mitzvah, if there's no Yibum being performed, then the Erva of Eshet Ach is still intact, and it's a problem. Now, Yibum only applies to situations where you can have reproduction. Because the whole point of Yibum is that you produce an offspring that otherwise should have been the offspring of the brother that passed away. And so you need offspring. You need the ability to have offspring. So if the woman is unable to bear children, or the man is unable to bear children, then there's no reason to perform Yibum. There's no reason to perform Yibum. Eshet Ach is still intact, and there's a problem of Erva. And that's what Rabbi Meir says. There's a risk here. We don't know about these children when they grow up, whether they're going to be able to bear children. And since we don't know, you have a risk here that they're performing Yibum when there's no need for Yibum, or there wouldn't be a commandment of Yibum, and that means they're pogea be'eshet ach, because they're together with an erva where there's no reason for them to be together with it. Rabbanan say very simply, zilbarta ruba diktani, go after the majority. Rov ktanim lav svisim ninu, majority of ktanim are not considered to be children or boys that cannot reproduce. Zilbarta ruba diktanot, and with girls the same thing is true. Majority of girls, and the majority of girls are able to reproduce when they get older. You're dealing with a minority. And if you're dealing with a minority, we don't need to be choshesh for such a minority. And so why don't we have them, as Rashi says over here, v'yigadlu yachad, they'll grow up together. They grow up together because the ability to perform Yibum, or at least at the right level, requires bia. And so you have to have a child who is at least of an age where bia matters. For a girl, it's a lot easier. You have to cross over the threshold of 3. For a boy, it's at least 9. And therefore, they could be younger than those ages. If that's the case, then they just live together until they have bia, or they can perform Yibum when he comes of age. But they could be together because we can just rely on the majority. So now we have this shita of Rabbi Meir, which he says that minorities we give significance to, we're choshesh for them, and so too over here. There's this low likelihood, according to Rabbi Meir, that a young girl will have a sighting at that age. But despite that fact, we worry about minorities, and we worry about those low probabilities. So we're going to say Rabbi Meir is the author of our Mishnah. Mar says, Imor dishmaile the Rabbi Meir miuta dishchiach. Rabbi Meir's opinion is only true when you have a minority that's of a probability that's reasonable. If you have a miut, what's otherwise known as a miuta, the miuta, which is a minority of a minority, that it's an insignificant probability, even Rabbi Meir agrees in insignificant probabilities that we do not worry about these types of situations. We don't worry about the minority there. You need something of significance. What that threshold is between miuta demiuta and miut is not clear. That has become a threshold that is used in many areas of halacha, including for checking vegetables for bugs or worms that are found in them, and also has impact by trefot. There, the terminology that's used by the Rishonim is what's called a miut hamatsui, that is a more common miut, which even there the Chachamim might be choshesh for. There, the miut hamatsui, most of Rishonim do not give agdara. The one exception is the Rivash, who says that it is a din of 50%. Later on, the Mishkanot Yaakov, who is the brother of the Keren Orah, he gives agdara of 10%, which has become the threshold that's used in halacha by most people. That is, when something is a miut hamatsui, it's already over 10%, then we're choshesh for it, even the Rabbonon. So, obviously, Rabbi Meir, when he's speaking about a miut, choshin the miut, is below that threshold of 10%. And then if you say miuta de miuta, then it would have to be something that's even smaller than that, less likely than that. It has to be a very low probability. So over here, this seems to be a very low probability. Gemara says, no. Ha'anami miuta de shkiyachu. This is also a probability that is not so uncommon. D'tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Maaseh Be'en Bul, the name of a location in northern Israel, southern Lebanon, Ve'aitzbilua Kodem Le'ima. And the young girl went to the mikveh before her mother. Now her mother, if she gives birth to a nekeva, has 14 days of tumah. So at the end of 14 days, her mother's going to the mikveh because that's the end of her days of tumah. Whereas the young girl, you would assume, didn't need to go to the mikveh for many years. Yet, over here, this young girl, within the first 14 days of her life, ended up having to go to the mikveh because she was tamei tumat nidah. So that's a scenario or a case where she was having sightings of dam at that young age. And again, it's obvious that the young age is before her mother goes to the mikveh, which means in the first 14 days of her life. So this is significantly young when she has such a sighting. Rashi points out what that means, kodim le'ima, is not because she has any tumah because of her mother. Her mother is a tumat nida, because she has the 14 days of tumat leida, and the child is also tmeah from the mother, because she's in contact with the mother. The mother makes her tmeah. But that's not what we're speaking about, as Rashi notes over here, but rather, we're worried about the baby coming into contact with tumah. And there, the baby would make the tumah tmeah if it was a nida versus if it was in contact with the mother. The truth is that that is not such a great explanation for two reasons. One is that such a young child is not going to be in contact with tumah, so it would be unlikely that it's a chashash for something like that. Number two is the baby is still tmeah because of coming into contact with her mother. Her mother is an abba tumah that makes her into a rishon tumah, which is also impactful with regards to truma. So this doesn't seem to be the issue that was at hand. So it might be for other reasons that your matbilor either to lower the level of tuma, which means that she can't be mitame other people. If the mother is an abatuma, she can affect other people. If the baby is a rishon the tuma, then it only affects ochlim and mashkim. It doesn't affect another individual. So there's a reason to take her to the mikveh, because then people come into contact with the baby will not become tamei, because people don't come tamei from rishon l'tumah. If she was a nida, the baby, then she would be an abba tumah, and she would affect individuals. So that's a reason maybe to lower her level of tumah, so that the baby doesn't affect other people, forgetting about herself and what she contacts. So that might be a better explanation as to why they put her in the mikveh. And even though technically you need kavanah in order to become tahora in a mikveh, nevertheless, there is the ability of someone to impose that kavanah. For instance, when you take kelim to the mikveh, the kelim don't have dat in order to become tahorim. Therefore, the person is matbil them, his dat or her dat is impactful with regards to those kelim. And similarly over here, this baby, even though it doesn't have dat in order to become tahora, nevertheless, the ones that are being matbil the baby, they can imbue the dat that's needed over here for the baby to become tahora. Amar Rabbi, Maaseh beBeit She'arim, Rabbi, who was from Beit She'arim, he had the Sanhedrin in Beit She'arim during his time period. He later, for health reasons, moves to Tzipori, but is buried in Beit She'arim. It's a famous cemetery, or really, it's a large area of catacombs that they uncovered that have many people buried there. And one of them was Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Beit Vilua Kodem Le'ima. He brings also a case where the same thing happened in Beit She'arim. Rabbi Yosef Maaseh B'Pumpedita. There was an instance in Pumpedita, which is in Bavel. The first two cases were in Eretz Yisrael. The latter case is in Bavel. Beit Vilua Kodem Le'ima. So there they also, again, same situation where the baby was in the mikveh before the 14 days of tumah lapsed for the mother. Bishlama de Rabbi Yossi Ude Rabbi, the two instances of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi, who happen to also be Tanaim, and that's why they're found, their cases are found in Eretz Yisrael. Mishom Trumah Eretz Yisrael. That's why Rashi before mentioned about Trumah, because it affects Trumah Eretz Yisrael, where Trumah Eretz Yisrael is real Trumah. Even if you believe it's Derabonon, it's still a place where truma is relevant. It's a mitzvah to Tliya Ba'aretz. Elder Rav Yosef Lamali. According to Rav Yosef, what does it matter if the baby is tmeah and it affects truma? Truma chutz la'aretz is really just a placeholder, and it's not even clear where they were knowing truma in chutz la'aretz, whether it's only in the areas that were adjacent to Eretz Yisrael, that's a view of many of the Rishonim, or here from Rav Yosef, it sounds like they were practicing it in Bavel. Was that simply just a Shalot Tishtachach Torat Truma, mehem, but it really wasn't truma, it wasn't any real institution. But nevertheless, what does it matter if this girl is tmeya with regards to trumat chutz laretz? Because v'amar Shmuel, ain't trumat chutz laretz asura, elu b'mishin tumah yotza migufo. Truma in chutz laretz is only affected by individuals who have tumah that they are exuding from their own body. That means nida, zav, zava, shichvat zera. Those are the only individuals that have a problem with truma. V'hani mili b'achila. That's only to consume it. Avav nigiya lo. But even those individuals, it's not a problem to touch it. So over here, if you think the whole problem, this is what probably precipitates Rashi's explanation, is touching truma, then this young girl has no impact on trumat chutz laretz, because nigia, even from somebody who is exuding truma from their body, like a nida, doesn't have impact. So why would Rabbi Yosef even mention it? Amar Rav Zutra, onisracha elele socha shemen shel truma. The case where they anointed her with shemen, with oil of truma. So assuming that she's a bat kohen, and it's muteret for her to get hana'ah from truma. So they're anointing her body with this truma, and that's the problem, because if she is a nida, then we said before, you can't eat, you can't consume trumat chutz laretz if you have truma that's exuded by your body. And what the Gemara is going to point out over here is that sikha, anointing, has the same din as drinking or consuming. Tanya, because it says, with regards to truma, v'lo yechalalu et kodshei b'nei Yisrael, ashir yarimu l'Hashem. So it says, you may not profane the kodashim of b'nei Yisrael that are taken off for Hashem. It's a reference to truma. The rabot et asach v'et ashoteh. That comes to include anointing and drinking. If you are tameh, you may not do such. Where it says, shoteh l'malikra. Drinking, what do I need a pasuk to tell me that drinking is restricted with regards to truma? Shtia b'chlal achila. Drinking is a subset of eating. And therefore, if eating is restricted, then why do I need to tell me that drinking is also restricted? I don't need a pasuk to tell me that. That's misvara, logically. If you can't eat it, you also can't drink it, because shtia avi bichlal achila, and that's based on the pasuk in Devarim that says, v'achalta maser degancha v'tiroshecha. And over there it says achila, and it's speaking about tirosh, which is grape juice or wine. So it's clear that a liquid or drinking is subsumed under the category of achila. Ela rabote dasach kishoteh. That to tell you that if you anoint with oil, it's the equivalent of drinking. So that's the problem here. This is a young girl who many times when the children were young, they used to anoint them, they used to put oil on them to soften their skin, to take care of whatever it was. They thought it was therapeutic in nature. So over here, this young girl, if they were going to put oil from trumat chutz laretz, which you can't drink or you can't eat, then if you're anointed, if it's like drinking, then it's going to be restricted because she has tuma hayutza migufa. She has tuma that's coming out of her body. She's a nida, this young girl, and therefore that would be a problem. Some people would say that the source for this halacha is from the following. It's like water that comes into his innards, that comes from drinking, and oil on his bones, that comes from anointing. So there's a parallel between drinking of water and oil on the external body, and they're both considered to be a form of consumption. And so just like the water is drinking, so too the shemen, which is anointing, has a status of drinking. And so there's the problem, that she might be drinking oil, not in the literal sense, but in the figurative sense when they anoint her, and that's the problem with trumat chutz laretz. Now, Gemara asks a very simple question, which is, ihochi didanami. If that's true, that we're worried about this low probability case of these girls that are kutim having a sighting of nida, and it's based on the sheet of Rabbi Meir, that koshushin the miyut, anan, why doesn't it also have to apply to our women as well? Meaning that if the whole problem is a problem in reality, which is that sometimes young girls have sightings of dam, number one. Number two is, this is authored by Rabbi Meir, who says we are choshesh for those low probabilities. Why are we only choshesh for that low probability with the kutim, and we're not choshesh for that probability by regular Yisraelim? The same din should apply to both of them. Why is there a distinction with the world of the kutim versus the world of Yisraelim? So the Gemara will answer this question in a second. Let's take a pause here to speak about two issues. One of which is the halacha that if one anoints themselves with oil, it's considered like drinking. This has huge ramifications, for instance, on Yom HaKippurim. With regards to Yom Kippur, where there's an Isra Achila and Shtiyah mina Torah. That is the two inuim, which for sure everybody believes are de'oraita. Then if you also anoint yourself with oil, that's classified like drinking. That means that it would be subsumed under the inuim that are de'oraita on Yom Kippurim. Now there is an Isur Sicha on Yom Kippur. It's one of the Chamesha inuim, but it might only be midrabanan. If you say that anointing is like drinking, it would elevate it from a din derabanan to a din de'oraita. And so that's the question here. How literally do we take this statement here that anointing is like drinking? The Baal Yeh Tosafot addressed that. They bring from the Rabbeinu Tam, and they bring two facts from the Rabbeinu Tam. First of which is, midoraita lo yimsach kishoteh. It's not a din min haTorah, it's a midin derabanan. That's number one. The second thing the Rabbeinu Tam is mechadesh is, the davka sichat shemen. It's only with regards to oil, and not with regards to other liquids. Rabbeinu Tam has two qualifications. First of all, the din is only midrabanan, not de'oraita. And the second qualification is, even in the issue of derabanan, it's only true of shemen, it's not true of any other liquid. So that's Rabbeinu Tam's view. There are others that disagree and say, maybe by truma it's de'oraita, by other areas of halacha, it's just an extrapolation midrabanan. But the Rabbeinu Tam and the Baal Yeh Tosafot over here indicate that they think the whole thing is derabanan. And Rabbeinu Tam even narrows it down to issues of oil. That's number one. Number two is this issue of Rabbi Meir. And that comes in a number of levels as to if Rabbi Meir is the author of the Mishnah, why is this a problem? We just said before that if it's a miyuta de miyuta, if it is a small minority, even Rabbi Meir agrees that we're not choshesh the miyuta de miyuta. Now the Gemara answered that by saying, no, we have cases like this. So it can't be that it's impossible. But even the number of cases that are mentioned here, they seem to be oddities, and they still seem to be a very low probability that this is going to happen. If Rabbi Meir agrees that it's a miyuta de miyuta, that is not problematic, why are we really worried about it here? So there are some achronim that point out that according to Rabbi Meir, miyuta de miyuta only applies when you have a subset of a subset, which is that you have a group of individuals. Within that group, there's a subset of individuals that has an issue. And then in the group of people that has the issue, there's another subset that has the item that we're looking for. So it's a two-leveled subset. That's when Rabbi Meir says, miyuta, miyuta, low probabilities don't matter. When it's just a pure low probability, then maybe we don't classify that as a miyuta de miyuta. So for instance, in our case, it's not a subset of a subset. It is women who have sightings of nida. Within women that have sightings of nida, there's some women that have it at a very young age. So it's only one subset of the greater grouping of women that has this issue. And therefore, even though it's a miyuta de miyuta, maybe we would be choshesh for that, even though it's a miyuta de miyuta. So that's a chiddush a little bit in this concept of miyuta miyuta of Rabbi Meir. The Gemara seems to indicate that it's not such a low probability, but it's still, in the actuality or reality, it is a very low probability. And so just to address that, some of the achronim note that miyuta de miyuta only applies when it's a subset of a subset, which we don't have over here. The next thing is that, according to the way our Gemara is reading over here, it means that the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Meir, and the Rabbanon disagree. And that means that you have, number one, the Rabbanon who believe that we're not choshesh the miyut, and number two, believe that the kutim were gerei arayo, that there's no din of our Mishnah applicable over here. And even Rabbi Yossi, who believes that we are choshesh the miyuta like Rabbi Meir, he still believes that kutim are gerei arayot. They're not even Jewish. So he doesn't think that it applies either. The only one who thinks it applies is Rabbi Meir, who has two. He has the choshesh in the miyut, and he thinks they're gerei emet. And so Rabbi Meir's opinion makes it that this Mishnah is a dat yachid that has no application to anyone else. The Baal Yeh Tosafot are bothered by that because this din that's mentioned in our Mishnah is one of the dinim that's mentioned in the end of the first parak in Gemara Shabbat, as being of the Yud Chet Davar. 18 takanot, gezerot, that the Chachamim put in place with regards to Tumah Tahara. This is one of them. And the Gemara says about those 18, number one is that there's no machloket about them, and that everybody agrees this is one of the 18. So everybody agrees it's one of the 18, and there's no machloket about it. That means the Chachamim also think that it's true, but it's because of the Yud Chet Davar. So why is it that the Chachamim think that it's part of Yud Chet Davar, but they don't think it's true based on Rabbi Meir's Shita here in the Mishnah? How do you reconcile between those? Okay, one, according to Rabbi Meir, it might be a problem d'oraita. According to the Chachamim, it's the Rabbanan. But what are the Rabbanan worried about that they were gozer in the Yud Chet Davar? The Tosafot of Yer says that the Chachamim's Zera of Yud Chet Davar is premised on a different issue, and that is the problem of intermingling or intermarriage. in order to prevent intermingling or intermarriage with these groups. That's true of Ovdei Kochavim, where we have certain takanot and gzerot in place, which we'll see later on with Nida as well. We also have it by Kutim, because once they determined that the Kutim were a problematic sect, they didn't want Jews to interact with them and to marry them. So one of the ways they did that was to create artificial barriers between them, including Tumah. And that's what the Yudchet Davar is. Yudchet Davar is a takana in order to create separation because of the Tumah that's created, not because of the Doraita problem that Rabbi Meir mentions in the Mishnah. And that's how the Baal Tosef explained why the Chachamim agree that there's a problem of Yudchet Davar. It's interesting is because over here, the takana of Yudchet Davar is from day one. For a Ovedet Kochavim, it also has a din of Tumat Nidaz, we'll see later in a second, that's only from the age of three. I mean, there were more Machmir by Akuti than there were by Ovedet Kochavim. The Baal Tosef would say that that is not unusual, and that's because the Kutim and Jews had more interaction than Jews and Ovdei Kochavim. So the higher the level of the interaction, the more you want to create separation or try to create a barrier to that intermingling. So that's how he describes or answers this. The one problem he's left with now that he has such a good explanation for the Chachamim is, what about Rabbi Meir? Why does Rabbi Meir need the Din D'Oraita of our Mishnah plus the Yudchet Davar? That means there's a Takanat Chachamim as well, and Rabbi Meir subscribes to it. So Tosafot says over here, Ve'yesh lomar, dimistama lo ra'ata miyad achar ho'lada, rega echad. In all likelihood, if you were to take probabilities, even according to Rabbi Meir, who says that there is a low probability of a girl seeing at this young age, the likelihood of her seeing it immediately after she's born is so low. It's such a low probability. Imkein ukma mechezkat shelo ra'ata. That means that this young girl, when she's born, gets a chazaka of being an individual that doesn't have sightings, or a chezkat tahara. If you take that chezkat tahara and put it together with the role of girls that don't have sighting at such a young age, that would then be strong enough to overcome the miut that do see it. And therefore, it would not be mitamu midoraita. There wouldn't be any issue of tuma midoraita. That's why they put in place this takanat chachamim, which is enoch anami in the sof. Rabbi Meir does have this choshesh in the miut, but the reason he's choshesh in the miut is because there's another factor that takes away the chazaka. Had I left the chazaka in place, I would have said that even according to Rabbi Meir, this is too low a probability and wouldn't have worried about it. Adding in the added aspect of, we don't want you intermingling, that's what pushes Rabbi Meir to put this into place and make it that there is a gzerat chachamim. Even here, where he's choshesh in the miut, and it shouldn't have been that, nevertheless, he puts it in place because of this other overarching factor is that we don't want you intermingling or interacting with them. So that's how Tosafot reconciles between our Mishnah and the Yudchet Davar that are found in the Gemara and Shabbat. The last thing to discuss here is with regards to Yibum. The Baal Tosafot asks a simple question and say, if the girl is an Ilonit, Mimonavshach, why don't we allow there to be Yibum to take place? That is because we don't know what's the story with this young girl. So she'll grow up, and there are two possibilities. One possibility is she'll be fine and she'll be able to reproduce, and then the Yibum is fine. Or we'll find out that she's an Ilonit and she's unable to reproduce. And that's what Rabbi Meir is afraid of. But why is he afraid of that? If she's unable to reproduce, not only is this not a problem of Yibum, the original marriage wasn't a good marriage. The marriage to the first brother was premised on a mistaken assumption that this woman was a woman who could reproduce. And in their day, it was considered to be a mekach ta'ut. It was considered to be a false assumption of a transaction, not literally a transaction here, but of a marriage that was premised on a woman that could reproduce. And this woman can't reproduce. Then that is a mekach ta'ut, and the marriage dissolves without having to do anything because of the fact that she's an Ilonit. So if that's the case, then over here, why do I worry about her being an Ilonit? Imanavshach. If she's not an Ilonit, he's performing Yibum. If she is an Ilonit, she wasn't even married to his brother. And then when he marries her now, it doesn't matter because he wasn't married to her brother beforehand. Because the marriage dissolved when we find out she's an Ilonit. The Baal Tosafot answer over here, Teres Rabbeinu Tam, Da'ach Ha'iri, B'Dekabal Ilavei Achiv. That's when his brother accepted and said that, I understand there's a possibility she might be an Ilonit. We have no idea, but I'm marrying her irrespective of that. So if that's the case, then that doesn't give you that option of opting out of the first marriage because of the Ilonit, because he accepted it irrespective of what she is. The other Rishonim answer, either that is only true by Kiddushin or Erusin, do we say that it's a Mekach Ta'ot, but once he has Bia with her, we say Savra V'Kabla. that once a person has biyah, especially since we don't want his biyah to be a biyah's note, he's accepted whatever he takes with this woman. He's done all his investigating, and he's now accepting this woman for whatever she is, and he can't use that as an excuse afterwards to dissolve the marriage. Or the last possibility is that you can't dissolve a marriage retroactively when the person is dead. It's one thing when they're alive that you can say the mekach taut and it dissolves retroactively. The person already passed away, the marriage is terminated because of his death. You can't now say, oh, now that we found out after the fact of his death that she was an ilonit, it also retroactively undermines his marriage from beforehand. That's not something you can do posthumously. You can only do that before he dies. That's why it's not an issue over here. So those are different answers of the Rishonim as to why, even if she's an ilonit, there might still be a problem with Yibum, even though that could have dissolved the original marriage. Tosafot over here points out that the Gemara in Yivamot gives you ways to test whether a girl is an ilonit or a boy is a saris. And there's certain physical properties about them or things that they do that will indicate. So Tosafot says when they are young, those simanim are not a good way to determine. Once they reach a certain age, then those simanim are an effective way to know. So then, if she's already a gdola, we can already test to see whether she's an ilonit because she shows features or physical manifestations of being an ilonit, and we'll know that she's an ilonit. When she's a ktana, there's no way to tell that. That's why it's different. If he dies when she's older, then we're not kosher to say she's an ilonit because she's not showing the signs of being an ilonit. If she is showing them, then we wouldn't perform yibum. So now the Gemara continues and says, if the whole problem is kosher to miut and it's a reality, then it's a reality for them just like it is a reality for us, then why aren't we in the same boat? Anan didarshinan isha v'isha. We who darshin the extra vav of v'isha, therefore v'chichazian mafreshiluhu. So therefore, when we have sightings of dam, meaning a young girl has a sighting of dam, then we believe that she is considered a nida because of the vav that's a riboy. Therefore, lo gazru b'rabbanan. Therefore, the rabbanan saw no need to make gzera because we take care of this problem of tuma. Inu delo darshi isha v'isha, the kutim that don't hold of this drasha, v'chichazion. And then if the young girl has a sighting, mo afreshe luhu. They don't separate them out. They don't take care of this tumat nida. Therefore, gazruhu b'rabbanan. So that's the gzera b'rabbanan. Gemara says, my isha v'isha. What exactly is this drusha that we're speaking about here? And that is the tanya. Isha. I have a woman. Any other isha. That's only for a full-grown woman that it would be an issue. Noked bat yom echad. A girl is a day old. L'nida. And how do I know she's also subject to that? Tamalomar v'isha. So the word v'isha actually appears a number of times with regards to the dinim of bia, zav, zava, nida, and we're actually going to discuss many of them right now, but one of them comes up with regards to a nida. And by nida it says, v'isha, ki tiye zava dam ye zova bivsara, shivat yamim tiye b'nidata, v'chon nageh ba yitmad aref. So that v'isha that is found in Vayikra, Perek Tedvav, Pasuk, Yutet, there, the V'isha comes to tell you that not only is a woman a nida, but even V'isha, a reboy, even a youngster, even someone who's a day old, would also have that din of nida, and we subscribe to that limud. They do not, and that causes the problem. Alma, kimarbe kra bat yom echad, rabe. Let us say that when the pasuk includes someone, includes a day old child. Firminu, is that really true? Isha. Ainli ali isha. I only have a woman. Tinoket bat gimoshanim v'yom echad l'bi'ah minayin. How do I know that she's also subject to the din of bi'ah? Tamlomar v'isha. A woman as well. So now this is another din, which is a woman who has bi'ah with an individual. And then the individual deposits semen in her. Shechvat zera. The woman becomes tmeah from an issue that is a din doraita gzerita kaduv. Nothing to do with tuma in general. Shechvat zera in general is mitameh, it does have tuma with it. And a person who expels shechvat zera, a man who does such, is tameh. A woman would not have any of those dinim because it's called magab beit hastarim. Her contact with the semen, with the shechvat zera, is internal. And magab beit hastarim is not a consideration by tuma. But there is a pasuk that specifically says, it's again in Perek Tetva, Pasuk Yudchet, the pasuk before what we just read, V'isha, asher ishkav ishota shechvat zara, a man who has relations with a woman, then, v'rachatsu b'mayim v'tamu ad arev, both of them have to go to the mikveh and they're tamei for one day. So the man is tamei because he expelled shechmat zera. The woman is tameah because shechmat zera was deposited in her. Again, not midinei tuma because it's magabe the strain, but akzerat hagadu, that a woman who has biyah with the man is subject to this tuma. And over there it says ve'isha. And the drosha that is brought here by the Braita is tinoket bat gimoshanim v'yom echad lebi'ah minayin. A girl is considered re'uya lebi'ah at 3 years in one day. How do I know that she is subject to this din? Talomar ve'isha. So it's not just a grown woman, it's even a woman who is younger than that age, as long as she's re'uya lebi'ah, from 3 years and one day older, she's subject to the din of this shechmat zera. So what the Gemara is pointing out is the inconsistency between the two Braitot. They both use the same limud, which is ve'isha, ve'isha. And one of them includes a child from the day of one, and the other one only includes a child from the day of 3 years and one day. Why is there a difference between them? Amarova, hilchata ninhu, there are locha lamoshe mi'sinai, vasmechinu rabbanan akrai. And the chachamim connected the locha lamoshe mi'sinai to a pasuk. Then the Gemara asks a strange question, which is, hey kra, hey hilchata. Which one of these limudim is from the pasuk, is midoraita? Which one of them is Allah Moshe Mi'sinai, which the Chachamim then connected to a pasuk? It's a strange question only because Rava said, hilchata ninu. They are both Allah Moshe Mi'sinai, he says it in plural. So Tosafot over here brings a girsa, which makes more sense, and his girsa was, hilchata hu, that it is a Allah Moshe Mi'sinai, which means one of the two is Allah Moshe Mi'sinai. Tosafot afterwards brings the girsa that we have in our Gemara and says, Rav Sfarim have our girsa. And he says, well, you have to explain it like this. Hilchata ninhu, which means one of the two of them is a halacha l'moshe mi'sinai, not both of them. One of the two, and it uses ninhu in plural, even though it's only speaking about one of the two, because it's a choice of one out of the two, and that's why it used the plurality. Or then Tosafot then goes one step further and says, you know, sometimes the Gemara uses that plurality, even though it's talking about one, and he brings an example of halacha l'moshe mi'sinai, where the Gemara calls it hilchata ninhu, even though it's only a single halacha l'moshe mi'sinai that they're speaking about. So it seems in all likelihood we're speaking about one halacha l'moshe mi'sinai and one that came out of the pasuk, and that's why the Gemara's question is, which one's halacha l'moshe mi'sinai? Which one is derived from the pasuk? And that's the nature of the Gemara's question. So Gemara says, ilema bat yom echad hilchata. If you say the halacha l'moshe mi'sinai is that from one day old, that's when it has application. Bat shlosh shanim v'yom echad kra, and that the 3 years and one day is a kra. Kra stomach tiv. It's very hard to understand why you'd make such a distinction. The pasuk just says stam ve'isha. How do you know where to cut that off? It's one thing if you say isha means of age. Ve'isha means even below that age. So fine, I understand now that's from one day up to the age where she comes of age. Where do you find a cutoff of all of a sudden 3 years and one day? Why is that a cutoff that is relevant over here? Ella, bat yom shanim v'yom echad yochata. Must be the halacha l'moshe mi'sinai is the 3 years in one day that she's subject to the din of boel by shechvat zera and bat yom echad kra and ve'isha that she's a nida from day one that comes out of the pasuk. So that's derived d'oraita from the pasuk. The other one's a din of halacha l'moshe mi'sinai, which the chachamim then connected to the pasuk of ve'isha and say there is a similar drusha there, but that drusha is not the source for it. The halacha l'moshe mi'sinai is the source, but that's why we know it's 3 years and one day. Even though there's nothing in the pasuk to give you that indication that it would be 3 years and one day versus from day one. Where it says, Umiachar de'ilchata kra lamali. Okay, the halacha l'moshe mi'sinai tells me this din. What's the pasuk for? You told me that it's an asmakta derabonon. But asmakta derabonon doesn't take away the fact that there's an extra vav in the pasuk. What do you do with that extra vav in the pasuk? It's got to teach you something. So what is the ve'isha asher yishkav ota shechvat zara v'rachatzu b'mayim tzomod ha'arev? What is that ve'isha, the vav there, teach you? So that's lemute ish mi'odem. That is to tell you that a man who has a sighting of red does not have a din of tum'ah. Because anida, a woman who has a sighting of red, she is tme'ah, tum'at nida, and she can even be a zava or zava gedola. A man who has a sighting of shechvat zara, he's subject to a din of tuma. So the miut over here is coming to tell you that a man who has a sighting of dam, he's not subject to the din of tuma. Rashi over here asks a question which will become relevant as we move through the Gemara, which is that the pasuk over here has nothing to do with the sighting of dam. It's about a shechvat zera. It has nothing to do with dam at all. So Rashi says, just wait a minute, and you'll understand the Gemara in the upcoming Gemara once you see what happens. It says, Vatanya, Isha, Enli Ale Isha, Bat Yud Yamim, Liziba. Again, we have another time the word V'isha appears, and that's at the end of that same perek. In Mitzora, in Pasuk Hafei, it says, V'isha, Ki Azub Zov Dama Yamim Rabim, Bloit Nidata, Otazub Al Nidata, Kol Yamei Zov Tumata, Ki Mei Nidata, Tiyed Tmeahi. So that's why Zavak Dolad also says, V'isha. So there's a vav there as well. So the Brita says about that, Ein li ala isha, bat yamim leziba minayin. How do I know that it's true by a woman who's of age? How do I know that even a girl 10 days old is subject to the din of ziba? Tamalomar, ve'isha. Isha is a riboy. So now, the reason why it's 10 days, and no less than 10 days, is as Rashi points out, the minimum amount of time to become a zavag dola is 10 days. You need to have a sighting of nida before you can become a zavag dola. That means you have to have a sighting, say the first day she's born, then she has 7 days of tumat nida. Then she begins her yamei ziva. Then she needs to sight 3 days in a row during her yamei ziva to become a zavag dola. That means you need a minimum of 3 days after the 7 days of nida. That's 10. So 7 plus 3 is 10. That's why no girl is going to have a sighting of ziva or be a zavag dola before 10 days old. It's just a reality. It has nothing to do with 10 days versus anything else. You just can't get there before 10 days. That's why it uses 10 days. Mar says, "Blamali, why do I need this at all? Ligamer mi nida. Why don't you just learn it from nida? So if the nida applies to a girl that is of a young age, so too ziva should apply to a girl of a young age." Mar says, "Tricha." The actual question of the Gemara is somewhat complicated or not clear. Because just because a girl can be a nida doesn't automatically mean that she can be a zava. The other way around is true. If she can be a zava, then she has to be able to be a nida. Because you can only get the ziva through nida. But it's not true the other way around. You can have a girl who's a nida who never becomes a zava or is not relevant to the world of zava gedola. So the Gemara's question as to, okay, learn it from nida is a little bit precarious because just because she's a nida doesn't mean that she is a zava gedola. Guess the Gemara sees them as being correlated, that it's all part of the same structure, and therefore below 8 nidata, at a time when it's not her nida, and she has these sightings, they are part and parcel of the world of nida, it's just excessive nida, maybe we'll call it, and that's why they think that there should be some correlation between them. The Gemara says, Tzricha, can't learn one from the other. Dikat of Rachmana b'nida, had it only written the v'isha by nida, havamina nida mishum techichazai chad yoma, by the Meitav Zayin. Maybe that's a chumrah by Nida, because Nida has another chumrah to it, which is if you see for 1 day, you're Tmeya for 7 days. If a woman sees during Yom Ziva 1 day of sighting of Dam, then she is a Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. She only has to wait 1 day, and then she's Tohara. So if that's the case, maybe Nida is much more chamur, and therefore that's why it has application to a girl who's below age. But maybe Zava, which is more Lakula here, maybe it would not have application. It by Zava Gdola. Eimalo, so maybe I would think you wouldn't have it by Zava Gdola. Tzricha, that's why I need it. So Gemara says, okay, then Lichtov Rachmana by Zava, and write it by Zava, velo by Nida. And then I won't need Nida. Now that is a good statement, because the only way to get to Zava Gdola is to go through a Nida. So if you tell me that she's subject to Zava Gdola, then she's certainly subject to Nida. Why do I need you to write it by Nida? And I would have known that there's no such thing as a zavag dola without a nida. But it says, ain't okhanami. That's right. Elokra. Lomali. Now, what do I need the pasuk for? You're right. In the end, all I needed was the case of zavag dola, and I don't need nida. So then, what's the v'isha by nida coming to teach me? Mote ish mi'odem. That's to say that a man who has a red sighting is not included in the din of nida. And where it says, hamiyatatei chadazimna. Didn't we just do that before? You told me that the Ve'isha that is found by Pasuk Yudchet of Shechvat Zerah told me that same din. Now you're telling me also by Nida and Pasuk Yudtet, Ve'isha, two psukim in a row are telling the same miut? Doesn't make sense. Gemara says, Chad le'mi'ute mi'shechvat Zerah, Chad le'mi'ute mi'dam. One is telling you that if he has Shechvat Zerah that is colored red, then that is not a din of Shechvat Zerah. It's also teaching you that he has an emission of dam from the same place that the Shechvat Zerah exits, he's also not Tameh. So it's two different dinim, and now you can see what Rashi pointed out is the dinim relate to the halacha. And that is, before we said, oh, by Yidvei Isha, by Shichlat Zera, what does that have to do with a man having a reciting of red? The answer here is that's because it's connected with the problem of Shichlat Zera. If he has a sighting of Shichlat Zera that is red, it does not make him Tameh. So it's a din in Shichlat Zera. The Ve'isha by Nidai is, if he has a sighting of Dam from his member, that is not considered to be Tameh. So you need two different dinim because they're relating to two different issues. One's a sighting of Dam, that we learn out of Nida. Ve'isha, only a woman, not a man. And also, what about Shichlat Zera that's red? That we all learn out of Ve'isha also by Shichlat Zera, to tell you that Shichlat Zera that looks like that of an Isha, meaning that's red, is also not Mitameh. It has to be white to be Mitameh. It cannot be red to be Mitameh. And so that's why we need these two limudim, and that makes each limud correlated with the other limud. Now, as Rashi points out, and Tosafot also mentions this, in general, in Shas, whenever we have a Vav, Dorshin Vav the Rabot, even though in general we use the letter Vav as a Riboy, Hachi Dorshin the Miute. Here they use it as a Miut, and he says, based on Rashi, Kevin Lo Itzrich the Rabot, since we don't need it for a Riboy, Mifarshe the Kroa, Lakach Yater, Lamar Davke Ish, Amarti the Kavalo Isha. So since it's unnecessary, extraneous, we then take the Vav to teach us that it means only this individual and no one else. So even though, again, it's normally a riboy over here, it'll be used as a miut, although the Tosafot Arid actually says that it is a riboy. It's as if the word is written again. When it says ve, ish, or ve, isha, it's as if it's written ish, ish twice, or isha, isha twice, and the second one of those will come to say ish below isha, or isha and not an ish. Therefore, the vav is a riboy that precipitates a miut. So it's a interesting way to deal with the fact that vav is usually a riboy and not a miut. Over here, the riboy then includes a girl who's below the age of being a woman. She's still subject to the din of Zavah Gdolah. By definition, if she's subject to the din of Zavah Gdolah, she's also subject to the din of Nida. And that's how we know that a girl who's one day old is subject to the din of Nida. That has impact because we subscribe to that, and therefore we take care of that problem. If it happens, we make the girl Tohora because we worry about it. The Kutim that don't subscribe to that din need a gzeirat chachamim to deal with them, because now we have safek tuma that exists in this world of the kutim who do not deal with girls who have sightings pre being women. Alright, so now the Gemara says, alright, v'chein l'inyan zecharim. We have the same thing with regards to men, which is the tanyo. We have a braita, ish, ish. So that's a pasuk bet. V'yaber shem moshev aron le'mor, debel b'nei sova matalem, ish, ish, ki es zav. So there's a double lashon of ish ish. Matam alomar ish ish. Why does it have a duplicate lashon of ish ish? There are both tinok ben yom echad shumetamei beziva. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's to teach you that a young child has a din of zav, that he can have a zavi mission even from the age of one day old. Rabbi Shmuel benot Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Omer ein sarich. You don't have to learn it from there. Hari Omer. It says, this is the summary pasuk at the end of Parshat Mitzora. Says a davah benidata, a zavet zovo la zachar valenekeva uleisha sheishka b'mtmeya. So it puts the zachar and nekeva together. So that correlation, lamar koshu zachar benchu gadol benchu katan nekeva koshu nekeva ben gadol ben tanai. The word zachar comes to teach you if you're a male. It doesn't use the word ish. It uses zachar. Male applies to any age. And nekeva, it doesn't use isha, it uses nekeva. To show you that the din of zav, because it says a zav et zovo, applies to any individual as a male or any individual as a female, irrespective of age. So he doesn't need this riboy of ish ish. So then what does he do with ish ish? Kei matamalara ish ish. Dibra Torah, kelashon b'nei adam. The Torah just spoke, it's a literary style to duplicate language like that, but there's no meaning or there's no drasha that you need to bring from it. Now the Gemara says, Alma, Mirabi Kra ben Yom Echad Mirabi. So you see it from that, that the Pasuk also includes a child that's one day old to the din of Zav. Biraminu, is that the case? Ish, and the only ish. Word ish, which is by the Parsha of Shichlat Zera, it says, V'ish, ki titzenu memenu Shichlat Zara, v'rachatz b'mayim et kol b'saro b'tamei ad arev. So there it says, ve'ish. Ish would imply that it has to be someone of age. And then it says, ve'ish, which is the vav, and that's what the bright is focused on, which is, ish, en le'ele ish, a man of age. Ben teish shanim v'yom echad minayin. How do you know that a 9-year-old in one day is also subject to this din? Tam lomar, ve'ish. a vav. So again, here you have two halachot that are coming out of Ve'ish. One of them is telling you, Ish, telling you that, oh, don't worry about it. It's even from a day old. He has a din of zav. And the other one, Ve'ish, is telling you, oh, don't worry about it. It's not from Ish. It's from 9 years in one day. So now you have, again, the same problem, which is, why is one of them from 9 years in one day, and one of them is from day one? So the Gemara says, Amarava hilchata ninu basmechinu rabbanan akrai. So once again, Rava says, they are halachot the Moshe Sinai. The same problem we had on the previous amud with regards to hilchata ninu in plural applies here as well, because the Gemara says, hey hilchata veikra. Which one of them is halacha Moshe Sinai? Which one of them is from the pasuk, which implies that only one of the two is halacha the Moshe Sinai? So the same answers we gave previously would apply here as well. Ilema ben yom echad. If you think the halacha Moshe Sinai is that zav applies to even a child of one day old, uben tachshani biyom echad kra, and the pasuk of shichvat zera that says 9 years and one day old, they have a din of shichvat zera, kra, stomach deep. The Torah never makes any distinction between age versus the inclusionary term. Ish or ve'ish are both inclusionary terms, and never shows there any reason to believe there's a cutoff. Ela bet tachshani biyom echad hilchata. It must be the halacha Moshe Sinai is about the 9 years and one day. Ben yom echad kra, and the day one for the zav is the pasuk. So from the ish that's written by zav, we include even a child from one day old in the world of tumat zav. And then with regards to shechvat zera, it's a halacha the Moshe Sinai that's starting at 9 years and one day old when he is with the biyah, his shechvat zera is mitameh. The question of what happens before 9 years and one day is interesting only because the Gemara in other places, based on the Rishonim, seems to indicate there can be sightings of Shechvat Zer before that time. So that might mean that it's totally Tahor. It's not affected by the din of the Torah. Or maybe it has a din that only is Mitameh, the individual himself who exudes that Shechvat Zer, doesn't affect other individuals. That's another possible way to deal with it. Now, Gemara says, if that's the case, if you have a halacha Moshe Sinai by Shechvat Zera, then what do you need the Ve'ish by the Shechvat Zera to teach you? Now it's nice that you have a smach to midah rabbanan, but that still doesn't tell you the oraita. What do you do with that extra Ve'ish? So Mar says, the me'ute isha miloven. To tell you that a woman who discharges white, she is not subject to a din of nida. The Bali Tosafot over here asks, wait a minute. Why do you need me to tell you about loven by an isha? We have a mishnah before in the Masechta that says only four colors of dam, which really equal five colors of dam, that are mitameh. White was not one of those colors. So why do you have to tell me that she's excluded? She's not having a discharge that is dam. So Tosafot over here answers that you would have thought maybe that it comes from a kal v'chomer me'ish. You're right, those four damim are associated with isha. Isha might have an additional problem that's not because of dam, that's dam nida, but it's a problem because you have a kal v'chomer me'ish. That's how he deals with it. Even though he says there are ways to undermine that kal v'chomer, maybe it's just the giloi milta that a discharge of white is considered to be a discharge and it would apply to the woman as well. That's how the Bali Tosafot would answer it. The Tosafot Rosh brings from Rashi an additional answer, which is that it would have been the difference between nida and tumat erev, which is that the discharging of shechvat zera leaves the person tamei for one day. Tumat erev. That day they go to the mikveh, sun sets, they're done. Tumat nida is a 7-day problem of tumah. So with regards to the four damim that have those colors, those are subject to the 7 days of tumah. They're all types of shades of red, and they are subject to the din of nida. Maybe if the din would have been over here that the white is not subject to the 7 day of tumat nida, but it will have a din of 1 day of tumah. And so maybe that's what the Gemara is suggesting over here, and that's what the Tosafot Rosh brings in the name of Rashi, that that's the distinction between what we said before and what's being proffered here as a havamina. So Gemara says, "Lamali de mechtav bizcharim, v'lamali de mechtav b'nekevot." Why do you have to tell me that zav applies to a male from day one? And why do you have to tell me that a zava applies to a female from day 10, really from day one, but from day 10, like by nida? Srichei, because you can't learn one from the other. That is dikat avrachmanu bizcharim. If it only wrote it by males, mishom demitamu briyot kibiyamim. That is because a sighting of zav can affect an individual in two ways. And that is, if a person has 3 sightings of zav, then they are a zav, they need shivanikim, and they have to bring a korban. It is also true if he has 3 sightings over 3 days, he has a sighting each day for 3 days, he's also subject to the din of Zav. So that is, whether you have three sightings in a single time, or you have three sightings over 3 days, you are subject to the din of Zav. That is not true by Nekeva. Nekevot, lomitamu briyot kiyamim. And Nekeva can't become a Zavak Dola if she has three sightings of Dam on a single day. She only becomes a Zavak Dola if she has sightings of Dam for 3 consecutive days. So there's a Kuba by Nekeva that is not applicable by Zachar. Nekeva is only subject to Yamim, not subject to Riyot. Zav has both Riyot and Yamim. Said you read it by Zachar, I would have thought because of the Chumra of Zav that applies to Riyot can be Yamim, therefore it has a din of Zav from day one. But that would not be true by Nekeva. She would not be a Zavak Dola from day one or from day 10 because she needs sightings over 3 consecutive days. She can't just have 3 sightings. It's not enough. Same alone. Maybe I would say there that you wouldn't have the din. Because of Rana b'Nekevot, had the Torah written it by Nekeva, Mishum de kamatavu be'onis. Because a woman becomes a Nida, whether the sighting of Dam is, quote-unquote, intentional or unintentional, it doesn't matter how the Dam exits from her body. If she has a discharge of Dam, she's a Nida, no matter what caused that discharge of Dam. Absent, obviously, it being a cut or some other source for the Dam, as long as it's uterine blood, she is a Nida. That is not true of a Zecharim. The lo matamu onis emalo. The pasuk says by a zav, it has to come out of his bisaro. And from that, the Gemara darshins that it has to be bisaro v'lo machmat onso. It has to come from his body that's exuding or having such an emission, and not something that is precipitated by some exogenous item. The Gemara is a list of items that can precipitate or cause the problems of Zav or emissions of Zav. And if one of those is the cause of it, then it doesn't count towards an emission. So that's a kula by Zav that doesn't apply by Nida. So maybe the reason that the girl is a Nida from day one or it's a Vagdola from day 10 is because no matter what type of discharge she has, then it has a din of Nida. But by a Zav, where it's only if he has it because it came out or he's exuded by the body, that he is Tamei, not when it happens because of some other variable, Emalov, then maybe he would not be subject from day one. Therefore, Tzircha, I need both it to be mentioned by male and female to tell you that the din applies from day one of a Zav and day one of a Ida or a Zavag Dola. They both have that din from the day one based on the Ribuim of the Pasuk. Okay, we're going to stop here by the 2 dots at the bottom of Lamed Bet, Amud Bet.